What I'd like to tell you about is how we've been working to define the function of BMPs, members of the TGF beta family, during embryonic development, during the development of the limb. And knockout experiments by a number of labs, in particular Bridget Hogan, Liz Robertson, Jared Carincenti, and Richard Berenger, have told us that BMPs are important during embryonic development, but they really haven't given us a clue or very little information as to what roles BMPs may play during limb development. And it's postulated that they may play many roles, and what I'd like to tell you about today is three of the roles that we've been studying. And so I'll be telling you about two roles involved in development of the cartilage, the skeleton of the embryonic limb. One is an early role, the step in the initial condensation of the mesenchyme to give the cartilage primordium. Then another role will be the later step in the process of cartilage differentiation. And then I'll also tell you a little bit about the control of cell death by BMPs. And so I'd like to, the studies I'll be telling you about today have mainly been done by a graduate student in my lab, Hongyang Zhou. And we'll start first by telling you that, I'd like to first just introduce you to the steps in cartilage formation, the formation of the early skeletal primordia. And so as the mesenchyme starts to differentiate in the limb, those mesenchyme cells begin to aggregate and condense, and then they adopt a chondrogenic lineage, and they form the initial skeletal primordia. And then this will go on to continue to grow. There's proliferation and growth. There's growth along this longitudinal axis by proliferation of these cells. And then cells in the center of the cartilage shaft then begin to start to differentiate. And there's also growth along this axis, what's called appositional growth. And this growth is thought to come from this perichondrium, a sheath of mesenchymal cells that surrounds the cartilage primordia and acts as a type of a stem cell to feed cells into this chondrogenic element here. And then if we go on, cartilage differentiation occurs. And it makes a really nice model because there are different steps in differentiation that can be visualized. And so if we look in the very center of the cartilage shaft, these are the most mature cells going out to the least mature here. So in the very center, hypertrophic chondrocytes. These are cells that are no longer proliferating and will soon be invaded by the vascular system. And this will bring in osteoblasts and osteoclasts that will then remodel this cartilage matrix and lay down bone. So we have the hypertrophic region. Then there's a region of less mature cells. This is called the pre-hypertrophic chondrocytes. And then a region of proliferating chondrocytes here. So the way that we've gone about to study the roles of BMP signaling during limb development is actually to go at the level of the receptor. And so just briefly, BMPs, the ligands, bind to two transmembrane receptors. These are both serine threonine kinase receptors. And upon ligand binding, these two receptors come together. And then the type 2 receptor, which is the constitutively active kinase, phosphorylates and activates the type 1 receptor in this region called the GS activation domain. And then that type 1 receptor is actually what's involved in transducing the signal into the cell. So the way that we've gone about our studies is to make dominant negative and constitutively active BMP receptors. And we've done this by making point mutations. So the dominant negative abolishes the APC binding site, and so acts, is no longer an active kinase. And the activated receptor is a point mutation within this GS activation domain, which then makes a constitutively active kinase that's no longer dependent on ligand or this type 2 receptor. And we know so far now of two BMP receptors that are expressed, that are found in the vertebrate embryo. And so I'll just be calling this BMP receptor 1A, which is the same as ALK3, or K1. And then the other receptor is BMP receptor 1B, which is the same as ALK6. And what so far we know that these two receptors have similar but not identical binding affinities, at least in vitro, for the BMP ligands that are expressed in the limb. And what the main, one of the main points that I'd like you to come away with today is that what we found is that these two BMP receptors I'm mediating distinct functions and distinct developmental outcomes in the lid, and that will become clear as I go along. Okay, so first of all, if we just study the expression of these receptors, we find that early on, receptor 1B is not highly localized, but at the time that the cartilage pardimony are just starting to form, you can see the expression of BMP receptor 1B that prefigures these cartilaginous condensations. And it, we can also look at this in an alternative section using collagen type 2, which is an early marker of cartilage. And so you can see that BMP receptor 1B expression actually precedes that of collagen type 2. And then once collagen type 2 is expressed at high levels, receptor 1B is turned down in these cells and only remains expressed in these less mature cells that are still undergoing condensation. And I'll come back and show you a picture later, but receptor 1A in the, is expressed rather ubiquitously in the embryo, also in the limb. So at this time, it's expressed at low levels all over the limb and is a little bit higher at the distal tip of the limb. So the way that we've gone about our studies is to take these mutant receptors and clone them into a replication-competent retrovirus, RCAS, and then introduce this into the limb in vivo, or we've also done some in vitro studies with these receptors. And what we find is if we now take this unactivated BMP receptor 1B mutation and introduce that rather widely into the limb, what we find is it has a dramatic effect on cartilage formation, you can see here. And so here's the infected limb and the contralateral limb. So you can see this limb that's been infected with the activated receptor 1B is almost completely filled with cartilage. The skeletal elements have fused. Now you no longer see these individual skeletal elements here, and so these have been fused. The joints have also fused. There's very little muscle or soft tissue in these limbs. There's also usually a reduction in the number of digits, so there's usually one last digit or so. Whether this is an effect on anterior-posterior patterning or an effect on the mesenchymal condensations into these ectopic and expanded digits, we can't tell because we don't have molecular markers that can distinguish particular digits in the limb. So if we look at, we try to figure out why this expansion of the chondrogenic region has occurred, we can think of at least two reasons why. One could be that there's an effect on proliferation of these chondrocytes, and I'll indeed show you in the next slide that that's the case. There also could be, and one thing that we're pursuing but we don't have a lot of data on yet, is whether there may actually be recruitment of muscle and soft tissue into this chondrogenic lineage, and that's something that we still need to explore. But if we look to see whether part of this expansion of the chondrogenic region is due to proliferation, we did that by doing BRDU labeling. And what you can see in the control limb is that, as I mentioned, in the region of the more mature chondrocytes, they've stopped proliferating and will soon, they've gone on to differentiate, and then they will be replaced with the bone. And so you can see that there's little proliferation here in the center of the cartilage element, but there's more proliferation occurring at the end. But now when we look in the limbs that have been infected with this activated receptor 1B, we can see that there's lots of proliferation that's occurring in this chondrogenic region here. And so this can at least explain in part this expansion of the chondrogenesis that we see. Now we can go on and we can look at this by in vitro studies also, and there's a nice culture system that can be used in which you take limb mesenchyme dissociated into single cells, then plate it back down at high density in what's called these micromass cultures. And these will go on and differentiate in culture. So if we just take control cultures that haven't been treated, over about 4 days' time, these will go on to form little ectopic cartilage nodules. I should mention in the previous slides, what we're staining with is just Alcyon blue, which stains the cartilage matrix. That's what we're staining with here also. So you see these nodules of condensing mesenchyme that then go on and differentiate. So now if we take these micromass cultures and infect them with the activated receptor 1B, what we find is that there's a great increase in the number and the size of these chondrogenic nodules. And it also seems that there's a precocious condensation that occurs in the presence of the activated receptor 1B, so that we see condensations about 2 days sooner than we would in the control cultures. Another point is that an activator receptor 1A also has a dramatic effect on chondrogenesis in the limb, and we'll also see the great expansion of the chondrogenic lineage. I'll come back and tell you later, but we actually think that receptor 1A is acting through receptor 1B in order to have this effect on chondrogenesis. Okay, so we've seen that receptor 1B is expressed in the early cartilage condensation, and that ectopic expression of this activated receptor can allow this expansion of chondrogenesis. So we wanted to then look to see whether receptor 1B is essential for chondrogenesis in the limb. And so first of all, if we just continued with this in vitro assay, but now switch to the opposite mutation, now take the dominant negative receptor 1B and infect the cultures with that, what we find is that now there's great inhibition of chondrogenesis in these cultures. Even if we carry them out for many days, we never see the formation of cartilage nodules in these cultures. So the dominant negative receptor 1B is necessary and sufficient. The activity of this receptor is sufficient for chondrogenesis in the limb. You can note that the dominant negative receptor 1A does not block chondrogenesis in these limbs, and we know now that receptor 1B is actually expressed very early in these micromouse cultures. So if we then go back to in vivo studies and introduce the dominant negative receptor 1B into the limb and look to see the effect that it has on chondrogenesis, what we find is that it's a bit more subtle than what we saw with the activated receptor 1B, but indeed it's necessary for these condensations to occur. So here if we look at the distal tip of the limb, these later condensations that will form the most distal part of the flanges, you can see that has not occurred. There's also reduction of the size of other bones, and we can also have the absence of more proximal bones in the limb too. I'd like to point out that studies similar to this with the dominant negative ZNP receptor have been done by Dr. Noji and Nono's group, and they've gotten similar results as I've shown here. So it looks here that, and I'll go on and point out in a bit, that it looks like signaling through this ZNP receptor 1B is essential and necessary for early condensation in the limb mesenchyme. Now, I'd like to go back and tell you about another story, because one of the questions that we had when we actually started our studies was what role do BNPs play in anterior-posterior patterning of the limb? And reasons for thinking that it may play a role, well, let me tell you right now that we haven't really been able to link this together, but I'd like to take you through our reasoning, because I think it's important for us to think about as developmental biologists, as how do you take positional information and actually then translate that later into the formation of the pattern, and the pattern that we see in the limb is a skeleton. So reasons for thinking that BNPs may be involved in anterior-posterior patterning come, as you've heard from other talks, that in Drosophila, the DPP, the BNP homolog, is involved in patterning the imaginal disc as a downstream signal from hedgehog. And in the vertebrate limb, it's also suggested that BNPs may play a role in patterning of the limb. And this is just highly schematized, and this actually demonstrates expression pattern in the chick. The expression pattern in the mouse is a bit different. But anyway, if we just focus on the center panel here, you can see that BNPs, especially BNP2 and BNP7, but BNP4 also, is expressed in the region of the posterior mesenchyme, overlapping the domain where sonic hedgehog is expressed. And as you know, if sonic hedgehog is introduced onto the anterior side of the limb, this will then result in mirror image duplications of the digits. And when sonic hedgehog is put on the anterior side of the limb, this results in the induction of BNP2 and BNP7 expression on the anterior side of the limb in a dose-dependent manner. The studies by Pippa Francis-West, Cheryl Tickle, and Delphine Dupre have also shown that if you introduce BNPs into the anterior side of the limb, this can have an effect on anterior-posterior pattern of the limb, and that you can get an extra digit to form. However, it doesn't really recapitulate all the effects that we see with sonic hedgehog, and that you don't get more posterior digits to form. So I think it's going to be a little bit more complicated than in Drosophila embryo, where DPP can mediate all the downstream functions of hedgehog. But I'd also like to point out that there could be a lot of complexity in this system, because if you notice, there's an overlap in the expression of a lot of these genes, and I failed to mention, but BMPs signal as dimeric proteins. And so the BMPs are expressed in a very dynamic temporal and spatial pattern. It's interesting to think about whether it might be different combinations of BMPs, different homodimeric proteins or heterodimeric proteins that may be involved somehow in patterning the limb. But so what I'd like to take you through is we're wondering, again, the question of how is it that you take positional information and translate that into the skeleton. And one thing that I'd like to suggest is maybe BMPs serve as this link between the patterning signals and then the activation of these downstream effectors that translate these information into the formation of the skeleton. And I'd like to just take you through the studies that we have. It's not complete, but just how we're thinking about it at this time. And so, now, as I mentioned, if you put sonic hedgehog on the anterior side of the limb bud, ectopic digits form. You get a mirror image digit duplication. If this receptor 1B is important in mesenchyme condensation, then it should be expressed in response to sonic hedgehog, and indeed that's what we find. So if we now introduce sonic hedgehog to the anterior side of the limb, we see the activation of endogenous receptor 1B, and again, this prefigures the expression of collagen type 2, this early cartilage marker. And this just shows the expression of receptor 1A. As you can see, it's rather ubiquitously expressed in the limb, a little bit higher on the distal side, but it's not induced in response to sonic hedgehog. Okay, so now if sonic hedgehog is to act through BMPs, then we might expect if we introduce BMP into the limb that that may be able to activate the expression of this receptor. And indeed, that's what we see in this case here. But we don't see the expression of receptor 1B until, at least we don't see highly localized expression until the cartilage is starting to form. So then we still have the question of what receptor is responding to this initial BMP signal to then give us this restricted expression of receptor 1B. And so what we wonder is whether BMPs may signal through this rather ubiquitous receptor 1A, and then receptor 1A somehow acts to induce the expression of receptor 1B. And so we just showed here that if we introduce the activated receptor 1A into the anterior side of the limb, now we induce the expression of endogenous receptor 1B. And that's just shown a little bit more here, in that this is a limb that's been infected with activated receptor 1A. You can see there's collagen type 2 and there's lots of ectopic condensation. And again, the expression of endogenous receptor 1B is activated in response to this to the activated receptor 1A and in these ectopic condensations, but then is downregulated as it is normally in the limb. So I'd just like to leave you in this part with just how the way that we're thinking about it right now is whether BMPs may serve as this link between the patterning signals and the downstream effectors involved in formation of the cartilage in this early mesenchyme condensation. So what we've shown is that sonic, or what has been shown by our lab and by other labs, is that sonic hedgehog induces BMP. Then what we think is that BMP may trigger this ubiquitous receptor 1A. And then receptor 1A somehow is involved in inducing the restricted expression of receptor 1B in these precartilaginous condensations. And then that expression of receptor 1B is necessary to mediate the early condensations in the limb. Okay, so now I'd like to turn to another story and tell you about the role of BMPs in the later process of cartilage differentiation. And so first I'd like to tell you about a nice set of studies that were done by Andrea Vortkenev and colleagues in Cliff Taven's lab. And what they had done was to link together another hedgehog family member, Indian hedgehog, and with the parathyroid hormone related peptide family, which has been involved in regulating the rate at which cartilage differentiation occurs. So to go over those studies that were done by Cliff Taven's lab, what they found was that Indian hedgehog is expressed in a specific population of cells in these pre-hypertrophic chondrocytes. And as I mentioned, then these would go on to then differentiate to form the hypertrophic chondrocytes that are marked by another collagen, collagen type 10. So in the Vortkamp studies, what they had suggested was that Indian hedgehog acts on the perichondrium that surrounds this cartilage element. It expresses patched with a putative hedgehog receptor. And so Indian hedgehog acts on patch, and then there was a suggestion that then this signaling works probably indirectly to regulate the expression of PTHRP. And there have been many studies by knockout experiments and transgenic experiments done by Henry Cronenberg's group and also Arthur Broaddus that indicates that PTHRP and its receptor are involved in negatively regulating the rate at which chondrocytes differentiate. And it's important to regulate these different steps in cartilage differentiation, because if differentiation occurs too quickly, the cartilage elements will be too small. If differentiation does not proceed or there's more proliferation, then the cartilage elements will be much longer. So there's this pathway that indicated that Indian hedgehog is working through the PTHRP pathway to regulate this, the rate at chondrocyte differentiation. What I'd like to tell you about is our studies that have put the BMP signaling pathway into these pathways, so that now we have a convergence of these three pathways. And then we think that BMPs are downstream signal from Indian hedgehog that acts through this pathway to regulate the expression of PTHRP. So I'd like to go about and show you this, the experiments that we've done to demonstrate this. And one is, first, if we look at the expression of the BMPs, it had been known that BMPs, BMP2, 4, and 7, are expressed in the perichondrium that overlies the cartilage element. But it wasn't known where the BMP receptors were expressed, and so it was not possible to tell which cells these BMPs are signaling to and to regulate cartilage formation or cartilage differentiation. And so when we look at the expression of the receptors, we now find that, as I told you earlier on, receptor 1A was rather ubiquitously expressed in the limb. But now you can see that it becomes very highly localized, and it's localized in these prehypertrophic chondrocytes, and its expression largely overlaps that of Indian hedgehog. We can look at this also later, in a later growth plate, which undergoes similar waves of different proliferation and differentiation, and we can see that receptor 1A again overlaps the expression of Indian hedgehog in the growth plate. I also notice that receptor 1A is expressed in the inner layer of the perichondrium, and it's not shown here, but it's also, and I'll show you in a bit later, it's also expressed in the periarticular region, in a region that overlaps where PTHRP is expressed. Okay, so now if we introduced activated receptor 1A into these limbs and look to see what happens. As I mentioned, you do get this great expansion of the chondrogenic region, and you can see there's very little muscle or soft tissue in these limbs. But as shown here, and will be shown more clearly in the next slide with molecular markers, is that there's a delay in chondrocyte differentiation upon ectopic expression of activated receptor 1A. And so these are very small, immature cells compared to the contralateral limb, which has undergone this hypertrophic differentiation. So you have these very large cells here. And we can see that using molecular markers, in that here we've targeted the infection more toward the posterior part of the limb. So you can see there's this expansion and fusion of the digit, but more proximal elements, and on the anterior side, differentiation still occurs. And here's the contralateral limb. So if we first just look for collagen type 2, which marks all chondrocytes except for these hypertrophic chondrocytes, we can see that the cells that are found in this expanded region are expressing this cartilage marker, and that these cells are viable. But now, if we start working our way and trying to look at what stage these chondrocytes are delayed at, if we look at a late marker, collagen type 10, so this is expressed in the hypertrophic region here and here. But you can see in the region that's been infected with the activated receptor, the collagen type 10 is not expressed, indicating that these cells have not progressed to the point of forming hypertrophic chondrocytes. And if we then go backwards and use Indian hedgehog itself and PTHRP receptor to be able to help place us within this pathway of differentiation, we see that Indian hedgehog, which is normally found in the pre-hypertrophic chondrocytes that flank the hypertrophic chondrocytes, we see that that's not highly localized and not expressed at very high levels in these infected limbs. And we can also look at this at the level of patched and glee. We also do not see the expression of patched and glee in this infected region. Okay, so then if we go backwards into PPHRP receptors expressed in prehypertrophic chondrocytes and slightly less mature chondrocytes. And we see that, again, it's expressed here in the control limb and in the non-infected region, but in the infected region, we don't see highly localized expression of the PPHRP receptor. So what this indicates to us is that chondrocyte differentiation has been delayed prior to this time of forming these prehypertrophic chondrocytes. One thing I'll point out here is that this pattern of the delay in chondrocyte differentiation is very similar to the delay that was noted by misexpression of Indian hedgehog in the limb. But as I mentioned, we don't actually see the ectopic expression of Indian hedgehog in these limbs as here or in looking alpha patched and glee. So if we then go on and try to figure out how this may be working as maybe an intermediate from Indian hedgehog to the PTHRP pathway, what first of all we find is that receptor 1A is expressed in these prehypertrophic chondrocytes, but it's also expressed in the periarticular region. Here's just showing within the joint area, which there's lots of periarticular chondrocytes at that point. You can see that it overlaps the expression of PTHRP. And what we found is if we misexpress this activated receptor 1A in the limb, we find that there is also misexpression of PTHRP in these limbs. Again, this is very similar to what was found by Cliff Tabin's group, in that misexpression of Indian hedgehog also gave a similar misexpression of PTHRP. And one other thing that's similar is that if we look much later, chondrocyte differentiation does not occur normally, but later, there is ectopic vascularization of the limb. So normally, the vascular system would only invade in the most in central region of the limb, or the skeletal element, where the hypertrophic chondrocytes are. But now, in these limbs that have been infected with the activated receptor 1A, there's ectopic vascularization that occurs in many random points along the cartilage element, including the joint region, which is very unusual. But this is also very similar to the phenotype that we've seen by misexpression of Indian hedgehog by Cliff Tabin's group, and also misexpression of PPHRP by Arthur Broaddus' group. So, before I summarize this, one thing that I'd like to point out is that this effect is specific to the activated receptor 1A, because if we introduce the activated receptor 1B into the limb, we, as I mentioned before, you get this expansion of the chondrogenic region and fusion of the digits and the joints. But cartilage differentiation continues in these limbs. So except there is a disruption in the differentiation along this proximal distal axis. So normally, differentiation occurs within each cartilage primordia along the proximal distal axis, so that collagen type 10 is expressed in the very center of the cartilage element, and then PTHRP receptor is expressing prehypertrophic chondrocytes that flank it. Now you can see that collagen type 10 is expressed in these limbs, so indicating that they have differentiated to the hypertrophic chondrocytes. But you can see that its expression is now disrupted and it's expressed along this entire proximal distal axis. But there is still complementarity between PTHRP receptor and collagen type 10. Okay, so to go back and fit this into the model that's been proposed before, what we'd like to propose is that the BMP signaling may serve as an intermediate between this Indian hedgehog pathway and PTHRP, so that you now get a convergence of these three different pathways interlocking with one another. And so what we'd like to propose is that Indian hedgehog, based on the studies by Tabin's group, acts on the perichondrium, where it signals through the patched receptor, which then regulates the expression of BMP in the perichondrium. And then BMP from the perichondrium can act back in a short relay loop here, back on receptor 1A, to regulate the expression and the differentiation in this pathway. But we also think that BMP signaling from the perichondrium may act at a longer range to act on receptor 1A in the periarticular region. And then receptor 1A is involved in regulating the expression of PTHRP in this periarticular region, which then acts back on its receptor to negatively regulate the rate that chondrocytes differentiate. So what we'd like to propose is that it's not only the turn on, but also the turn off of these different genes that allow chondrocytes to progress along these different stages of differentiation during cartilage development. And I just tell you, maybe I'll just skip through. We just have found that BMPs are also involved in cell death in the limb, and we can see this using the dominant negative BMP receptor to block cell death, or now using an activated BMP receptor to stimulate cell death in the limb. And the BMP receptor 1A, whether we use an activated or dominant negative mutation, has no effect on cell death in the limb. And so I'll just summarize and say that now what we think is that signaling through these two different BMP receptors can mediate distinct developmental outcomes during limb development. And what we feel is that receptor 1B is involved in mediating a pathway of cell death, but also is involved in signaling that's necessary for early formation of the cartilage. And I would like to point out one thing here that I think is very interesting and something, again, for us as developmental biologists to think about. These pathways, it seems to be that the cells, when we introduce these receptors into the cells can respond differently to these different signals depending on how they're poised to respond to those signals. So one thing that I didn't tell you as I went quickly through the cell death studies, so if we introduce the activated receptor into the limb very early, the cells respond by dying. We can essentially wipe out the whole limb if we introduce that very early. But if we wait a bit and now introduce this activated receptor 1B into the limb, rather than the cells dying, now they go on to form cartilage. So it's the same receptor signaling, but cells have now seen the signal in a different manner, and in one respect have gone to a cell death pathway and another toward cartilage. So that probably depends on the developmental history of those cells, what other maybe receptors and signaling molecules they're responding to at that same time, what set of transcription factors. Okay, so receptor 1B is involved in these two pathways, and receptor 1A, as I mentioned, is involved in this later stage of cartilage differentiation. And I'd just like to point out that David Kingsley has done a lot of work on BMP and the role of BMPs in cartilage differentiation. And one thing that he's proposed is that there may be, depending on the temporal and spatial regulation of BMP expression, may help to give the formation of particular cartilage elements in particular places. And now what I'd also like to propose is maybe that the regulation of the expression and the activity of the BMP receptors may also be involved in regulating cartilage formation. And so maybe this complex formation of cartilage in the proper number and size, shape, and position may depend on the expression and activities of the ligands, the receptors, and also the intracellular response of these cells. Thank you.